and welcome to the Daily Dits podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Mitchell. It's Friday, the 4th of September. We made it to the weekend. And on today's episode, I'm very excited about this one because we're going to be chatting a little bit about the Met Office. And joining me on the podcast today, it's Carl Lambert. Hi, love.
Hello. Just for clarity, I'm not from the Met Office. But happy to talk
about
them.
No, you're not from the Met Office. You're from BFBS Socials.
I am, yes. How are you doing, Lauren?
I'm really good, Carl. And I'm happy that we've actually managed to get you on the pod, actually, because I swear you are never in the office. You're always out gallivanting, getting them stories.
Do you know what? I am busy. I actually think this summer it's been a bit quiet. So I'm itching to get back out. So I've got a few things planned to get back out and about. But yeah, we'll try to keep busy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I like about you. On your Instagram and stuff, you always just seem to be in another place doing some filming and stuff. And I'm like, oh, he's got a cool job.
I'm just like, how many continents can I hit each year with BFBS?
That'd be cool. Have you ever hit all of them in one year?
No, last year I didn't get to South America. That was the only continent I didn't get to.
Wow.
So, and this year's been, as I said, has been quieter. So next year, fingers crossed, all continents in one year.
But most recently, you have been doing some stuff with the Met Office, haven't you?
Yes. So the film Pressure's coming out very soon, next week. And we decided that we wanted to build a whole campaign around how the weather is recorded on D-Day and even now today, which was so insightful. And I think one of the coolest things I've ever done with BFBS.
What I love about the Met Office is Met Office and BFBS tend to go hand in hand when you're overseas. I've noticed it in places like Cyprus and in the Falkland Islands. I think because we're like the civvies in the mess and in the camp and stuff like that. So we kind of band together a little bit and become friends. And that's what I always like about the Met Office. I always know when in doubt, the Met Office will always be there for us.
Yeah, and I've got to say, when we went down to Exeter, they were so excited and so welcoming, and they did everything they could to make sure our content looked slick. And I loved that. It was great. We do have a great relationship with them.
Yeah, we really do. But the Met Office are actually really important when it comes to military operations. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, they are pivotal. They decide if we go or not. And it's up to us to decide whether we listen to them. Now, we normally do. They obviously, they give us the forecasts for battle. For operations, and which the military value massively. And that's why the MOD have such a strong connection with the Met Office. We couldn't function without them. It's genuinely, they are an institution that doesn't get enough light shone on them for all the work they do and the effort they put in. And like collectively, they're like super intelligent, on the ball. They just genuinely are an outstanding organisation.
They really are. They really are. They are just incredible. And who have you been speaking to, Carl?
So I've a bunch of people, but I was speaking to Flight Lieutenant Nicola Jones, who is a meteorologist, a reservist, and also works for the Met Office.
The Mobile Met Unit, it's a sponsored reserve unit, so it's managed and run by the Met Office, but it also sits under two group in the RAF. The relationship that the Met Office and MOD have is that the Met Office are extremely flexible in releasing us so that we can go away, and we're actually all doing a very similar job in our normal civilian lives to we are when we're deployed.
And can you explain day to day what your job is then?
We will be deployed alongside either a squadron or a brigade or a division or a corps, and we'll be working with all of the units there, all of the decision makers, and we'll be giving a forecast which is tailored to what's going on in that theatre. So whether it's an exercise or operation, we'll be looking at the observations, using our numerical weather prediction model, using our local knowledge, building up that forecast, but in particular we'll be tailoring it specifically to what's needed by defence.
Can you explain to me why the role and input of a meteorologist is so vital to operations?
The first sort of level of what we do is safety, really, particularly happened on D-Day as well, is that we're putting our personnel into harm's way, and commanders will want to limit that risk as much as possible. So anything we can do to support limiting the risk of the weather is what we do. So particular examples is hangar doors can't be opened if the wind is too strong. There's limits on those, limits on starting rotary aircraft. Another one is we look at heat stress as well. It's understanding how the temperature and humidity impact on human body and what work rates we need to limit because of that. And particularly in relation to D-Day, I think making that decision to move D-Day to the next day probably saved hundreds of thousands of lives. On top of the safety aspect, the next biggest thing for us is getting that tactical advantage over the enemy. Meteorologists do that anything from more of a strategic look to more tactically. So from a strategic angle, we've got meteorologists in the Met Office who are working directly with MOD to sort of think, okay, well, what's the climate doing in 20, 30, 40 years time? How are we going to build ships, aircraft, tanks to make sure they can cope with the climate extremes going forwards? Operationally, we have meteorologists who work directly with Permanent Joint Headquarters and Joint Force Headquarters up at Northwood. That's our team of Met Office and Navy forecasters. And they will again look globally at what different operations are doing and help decision makers there. From a deployed angle, so it's more kind of where MMU come in, we often work with Allied Rapid Reaction Corps, 3 Division, 1 Aviation Brigade, and a lot of our deployed squadrons. And from a kind of deployed headquarters perspective, we're looking across that battlefield. We're looking at, okay, well, over the next week, you may be able to use fast jets and ISTAR, but you may not be able to use drones and rotary, for instance, or you may not be able to use artillery. And then we might have people, as I say, working with the squadrons, and they're doing the really tactical, understanding what our almost relationship and dynamic is with the enemy. So can we see the enemy? So for instance, what's the visibility doing? What's the moon doing? Can we use night vision goggles? But also, what's the moisture content of the atmosphere? And we have a lot of good tactical decision aids, which are applications, which our scientists put together in the Met Office to help us with that.
Wow, it's so incredibly interesting. I reckon you probably learned a lot that day when you went over there, didn't you, Carl?
Oh yeah, I went down with Toby, and Toby led on the filming, and I did like the interviews, and when it wasn't needed, I just sat back watching in awe, where I was just seeing all the kit and what they do day to day. I got to do the weather as well. They let me have a go at doing the weather, which was daunting. And it didn't.
Did you do like the green screen?
Yes, I did on the green screen.
Oh, that's so cool!
And there is a video, and it's going live next week if anyone wants to watch it on our socials. I had training by one of the meteorologists there of how to do it. It is nails. Don't take it for granted.
Green screen, you can't see anything, but you've got to be pointing where the wind and where the rain is going and stuff.
Yeah, so I specifically did the weather for BFBS military locations as well. It's hard job, really hard job. And when you're there, they don't have a script. They don't use scripts. They literally get in the morning, they look at the brief and they go, right, there's weather here, and there. And it's just like they commit it to memory. And then they all day they're doing, like, you know, when you watch a weather forecast, it's like 2-3 minutes. They do like 15, 20, 30 minute forecasts and they don't have a script. It's insane, like how talented they are.
That is so impressive. That is so impressive. So what else did you get up to whilst you were there?
So I spoke with a lovely lady called Catherine Ross, and she's one of the archivists at the library, the Met Office. And she shown me all the kit and equipment that was used, or similar kit and equipment that was used for the iconic forecast of D-Day. And also got to show me, she showed me Group Captain James Stagg's diary. Now, he was the RAF meteorologist that put together the forecast for the D-Day landings. And the story is incredible, how there was a very minute window in which they could go in between two storms. And so I got to read his diaries. His diaries are insane. So one of the quotes, the amount of pressure on this man and his team is like unfathomable. And in his diary, I took a quote when he was trying to brief all the generals, Monty, Eisenhower. And in his diary, he says, I am now getting rather stunned. It is all a nightmare. Like, he's just like, he was like, done.
I don't blame him.
And then they showed me a document after D-Day when it was a success. And on the top, General Eisenhower, who went on to become President Eisenhower, written thanks to the gods of war, we went when we did. And like, it's the real document. And they let me hold it, which was a bit mad. And they let me hold the actual weather charts from D-Day. And when I was holding it, I was like, oh, this is so cool. And I was like, so where do you keep the real ones? And she's like, no, that is the real one. That's the, I had a coffee stain from the mug on the charts. It was the coolest thing I've done at BFBS by far.
That is, I'm speechless. That is awesome. You're literally holding history in your hands.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you have gloves on? Did you wash your hands?
No, they don't need gloves. It's in this like weird case. It's in this case, as you can imagine, and they took it out for us to film. And this is why we were so, so impressed and so like, that they did everything they could to make sure that we just hit this campaign right. They were super happy that they were getting light shone on them from pressure, the film, and just this whole forecast that actually not many people know about how important meteorologists were to D-Day and in general. So yeah, it's been like an incredible few weeks just learning about it and meeting all these incredible people that do it now day to day for the Ministry of Defence.
Now, I've got a bit of an impossible question for you because by the sounds of things, you've had an absolute whale of a time. Have you got any highlights that you haven't already mentioned?
Well, yeah. So if I can mention the film, I did get to interview Andrew Scott and Damian Lewis, which was pretty cool. But I actually, after watching the film, I then got to meet the real meteorologists of today. I've met like three or four of them and they're like fascinating people. And that's been a great highlight. And I think people like Catherine Ross, who's the archivist who I've mentioned, she's just a fantastic human and her knowledge is insane. And I just being in the presence of them people who are so passionate about it and just like, just bowel feeding me all this information. So I've got a bit of an interest in history, particularly World War II. So that was just great for me doing that.
And where can people find some of this content?
So right now, if you go to our YouTube channel, you can see the video of Catherine Ross talking through all the kit and equipment they used at D-Day and comparing it to what they use now. And then next week, you'll see an abundance of videos around our campaign for this. You can find the YouTube video at BFBS Radio.
Well, Carl, thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of Daily Knits. That is an incredible story. And who knows, you might be a weatherman in the future.
Seems unlikely. I'm not intelligent enough to be a meteorologist, for sure. Maybe I could be one of these like TV presenters that do the weather on the side, maybe. But I'll just stick to BFBS for now, I think.
Watch this space. Well, what else is going on across BFBS? Well, it's Friday, so we've got a brand new episode of The Lobby, and it's just a few more weeks to go until the BFBS Pro League Grand Final. Danny G and Jonah catch up with the League of Legends winning team's coach, Moose, and we're going to be teasing the winners' prizes. You can catch the brand new episode of The Lobby on the BFBS Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Well, thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Daily Dits. I've been your host, Lauren Mitchell, and I'll see you on Monday.